Be advised, I see midway up the World Trade Center tower, heavy black smoke coming out. Also, it seems like heavy damage to the upper portion of the building cave.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Hey, folks. Hey, first off, I just wanted to apologize because Steve and I have been taking a bit of a sabbatical, I guess you could say. I know that we haven't put out anything new in quite a while, and I've wanted to, but I thought it was necessary for me to kind of step back and deal with some of the current events in my own soul, I guess you could say, and kind of digest some things, to bring some things before God, and to do that work that I needed to do, just kind of on my face, really, before God, and to seek Him before I brought anything to you folks. Obviously, there's been a lot going on. There is a lot of, there's a lot of attacks going on, regardless of where we stand. I don't believe that we have to take a side. I am weary of a world that thinks that we need to take sides, Republican versus Democrat, home team versus visiting team, the Bulls versus the Jazz, if you remember those days. And I'm getting kind of tired of that. I don't necessarily think that we all need to hold hands and sing Kumbaya, but I think the world needs Jesus now more than ever. Than that, it's that place. It's at the cross where we all can find common ground. The world needs Jesus right now more than ever. But I'm not sure that we're headed that direction. I think that we may be actually headed a completely different direction as far as the world goes. But that doesn't mean that you who are listening to this need to go that direction as well. I think really what's being done here is that the Holy Spirit is starting to step back. And to explain that, what I'm really talking about is end times prophecy, okay? And I know that a lot of people get kind of tired of hearing that. And that actually fulfills prophecy also. In fact, I'll probably flip to that section in my Bible here in just a few minutes. But before that, I want to just kind of offer some encouragement. Because everything that's going on right now is meant to happen. And it's bringing us, a lot of us, to a place of anxiety. I can tell you, I was there just a few days ago. And the anxiety was to a point where I just had to step out of the house. Seeing our country go through what it's going through right now, it's hard. It's hard, but I believe that God's working not only to set up the world for what's to come, but He's also doing a work in each and every one of us. And as I read my commentary Bible, and it was in the book of Isaiah, and I don't even remember what verse it was talking about, but John Corson, who wrote the commentary, said something to the effect of that God is going to allow us to go through trials and even put us in the place where we are going through these trials in order to accomplish something much greater within us. for his purpose. And when we fight against that, we're really fighting against God's purpose. And that kind of hit me like a punch to the gut, because I realized that in all this, I really have been fighting against what God's trying to do in my life personally. And I believe we're all being prepared for something amazing. Those of us who are believers, the word says that he works all things together for good to those who love him. And so if we're going through something and we really do love him, then it's going to be for our good and for his glory. And we need to remember that. When we're in the middle of the storm, it sucks. It's hard. And we are in the middle of a massive storm right now. And it doesn't seem like this one's going to ever end. This isn't some tornado. This is a wildfire that seems to be staying in one place. And we're caught right in the middle of it. But I know that he's right in it with us. So I'm already open here to Ephesians 6. And we're going to bump down here to verse 12. This is a very familiar verse, but I think that we need to hear it right now. Because there's so many of us that are ready to be angry at one another, to cut ties with one another over some words, some social media stuff. And I think we need to remember and be reminded here what's actually going on. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's where our struggle is. It's not against my friends. It's not law enforcement versus the African American community. That's not where the battle is. The battle is good versus evil. It's against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What do we do about that? Well, thankfully, Paul here goes on to tell us exactly what to do. Continuing on in verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I hadn't intended on doing this, but let's break this down just a little bit. The belt of truth. We know the truth. Jesus says, I am the truth, right? I am the way, the truth, the life. So, we know the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. We don't need to defend ourselves. We know the truth. The breastplate of righteousness in place. We're not righteous, right? The Bible says in Romans that none of us is righteous, not even one. But we are made righteous by Jesus Christ through faith. Okay? And your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We have the gospel. The gospel means the good news. We know the good news that Jesus died taking upon himself our sins. And he rose again on the third day. And we're saved by faith in him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Therefore, we have the gospel of peace. But we need to actually be firmly planted in that, knowing that we are saved. If you don't know that you're saved, you need to spend some time alone on your face before God, crying out to Him. He'll tell you. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. I think, as we're seeing in these protests, shields are a necessity. Now, I'm not going to call protesters the enemy, because that's not what's going on. The evil one is the enemy here. And the enemy, the devil, and the spiritual forces of darkness, they're going to throw all kinds of things at you. Just the other day, what they threw at me was anxiety. Anxiety to the point where it made me nauseous, and it really drove me down to my face. And what I had to do was I had to take up that shield of faith to deflect all this junk that's being thrown at us. And it's being thrown at us from all directions. And that's why I say this, the Holy Spirit is starting to step back. And this is ultimately going to be for our good. And when we're taken out of here, thank God we'll be taken out of here. But when we're taken out of here, then things are going to get real gnarly. But in the meantime, we pick up that shield and we guard ourselves against this junk that the devil's throwing at us, conflict, throwing pandemic at us, throwing relational stress, throwing at us sickness. I know friends of mine who are battling cancer right now. This is stuff that doesn't just go away because there's a pandemic and because there's civil unrest. This is all being thrown at us. And if you actually look into some of the people that are helping fuel these fires, Soros and Bill Gates and the like, you can even start to develop an anger toward them. You got to pick up that shield. You got to pick up that shield of faith in which to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, I love here that Paul says all the flaming arrows. It means that by faith, you and I can come before the Lord and we can block all of those flaming arrows. None of them has to get through. None of them has to get through. We can find our rest. We can find our peace within that fortress of faith. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need to be in the Word. And I'm starting to realize that I am hungering for the Word more than just once a day like I used to. I used to read the Word once a day when I go to bed. But now as we deal with these things, I find myself really, really hungry for the Word of God. It's a necessity anymore. It sustains me. And I believe it's because God uses His Word in me to really cut down the enemy. And again, the enemy is spiritual. If you wonder why there's so much conflict, so much strife in our country right now, it's because the enemy is having a heyday. A huge portion of believers are falling away from the faith. But I'll tell you what's beautiful is there are a huge number of people coming to faith. And that really encourages me. And you can see that with the numbers of people that are proclaiming their faith via these online church services and such. And we need to continue that. People are finally realizing where hope is found. But let's not let the spirit of strife, the spirit of hatred, drive us apart in these very, very, very volatile times. So I don't want to keep you too long, but let's kind of cruise through a few of these verses here. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Now, a little side note here before I continue on. The Bible and Jesus also, within the Bible, talks about these labor pains. Now, it doesn't take a genius, and I don't have to be a woman to know that these labor pains come in greater frequency and greater intensity the closer they come to giving birth. And so when my Bible says that they will come like labor pains, I can look around the world and I can see natural disasters, earthquakes being one, civil unrest, these massive worldwide, not sure what you would call them, news-making events that are occurring more often with greater intensity, greater frequency. You can look around and you can see that happening right now. So I think we're building up to something, and what I really think we're building up to is the rapture. But this podcast isn't necessarily about that rapture. We'll cover that in another one, Lord willing. But moving along here, it says, "But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God does not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Now, I can tell you something here. Paul wouldn't tell us to encourage one another and build each other up if we were just going to go into the tribulation. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to read straight from the Word here, because I don't want you to just listen to my words for encouragement. I want you to actually know what the Word of God says, because my words aren't just words. But if they come from God Himself, then they hold some clout. First Peter chapter 4, verse 13, "But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." That day's coming. Now, I sent this one to a friend the other day, and so I think it's for all of us. "And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Okay, that's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And that may be an anthem for us today. and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. I'm going to read that one more time. And the God of all grace. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It means that Jesus died so that we don't have to face what we deserve for our sin. Okay, that is grace. God giving us what we do not deserve. Who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. We are one in Jesus. Okay, we have been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we receive his eternal glory in Jesus Christ. After you have suffered a little while. Yes, we're going to suffer. And many of us already have. And that may continue. Look at Job. Job suffered. After you have suffered a little while. But we don't suffer alone. And we don't suffer for long. We suffer a little while. Will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. He will make us strong, even stronger, because it'll be by his strength, not by our own. Firm in what we believe because of what we have been through, we will come out the other side knowing who the glory belongs to. And we will be firm in our faith, and we will be steadfast, knowing that good is to come. For all things work together for good to those who love him. Now I'm going to give you some homework, because I don't want to keep reading on here and keep boring you with my reading voice. But I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. I want you to read 1 and 2 Peter. They're very short. I read 1 Peter before bed last night. I read 2 Peter this morning when I woke up. If I can do it, anybody can. And no, I do not use a crayon as a highlighter, but please read 1 and 2 Peter. What gives me a lot of hope is 2 Peter chapter 3. Because this is exactly where we are. And I'm going to read just one passage here. Because I talk about the rapture. And I, Lord willing, my friend Jay and I are actually going to do an entire podcast on the rapture, what it is, why the timing, and how it is, how we see it in the Old Testament, especially in many of the Old Testament stories, and why it's relevant to us. But I want to point you to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. Scoffing and following their own evil desires, they will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of the creation." So when people say, the rapture's not coming. No, it's not real. Where is it? It should have happened by now. You keep telling me that this is coming, but they've been saying that forever. Well, what they're really doing is fulfilling prophecy. They're fulfilling this verse right here. So that's part of your homework. Read 1 and 2 Peter, because there's hope there. There is hope. The other part of your homework may take a bit longer, and it actually may take a few times reading through it. The book of Daniel, if you're wondering where we are right now, the book of Daniel is, it'll blow you away. If you read, I think it's chapters 1 through 6, and look at them through history, as they relate to history, you're going to see that they've been fulfilled. And if you need commentary for that, look it up. But you're going to find that Daniel, in his prophetic visions, was spot on. And I believe it's Daniel chapter 7, and I could be wrong on that, but I believe Daniel chapter 7 begins to tell us about the end days and about the Antichrist. And you're going to see why the world is in the place that it is right now, pushing us away from nationalism, pushing us toward globalism. God has given us 4 years of grace, or 3.5 years of grace, where he's allowed us to enjoy his goodness in this country. Nationalism is a good thing. And we can see that through the story of the Tower of Babel in the Old Testament. If you look that up, you can understand why God wanted us to be nationalist. Because when we come together and we try to, well, we try to be God. And we try to be the God of our own lives. And that's not good. That's not good. And God knew that that wasn't good. He knew that if we try to be God, we'll screw everything up. It'll end up evil completely, which is the direction that we're headed right now. Nationalism is a good thing. But you'll see that the last 3.5 years, God has allowed grace to be on this nation. And that time is coming to an end because we're headed toward the world being prepared for the Antichrist, being prepared for the tribulation period, being prepared for, first of all, the rapture. Everything is in place. Nothing else has to happen according to biblical prophecy for us to be raptured. Nothing. And this is why I want to share this with you. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to look up and know that your redemption draws near. So, with that, I should probably let you go. Please do me that favor. Look up 1 and 2 Peter. And at your leisure, look into Daniel. You're going to realize that all of this has already been foretold. And if it's been foretold, God's not going to allow us to go through it alone. And we're not alone. But these spirits, these evil demonic spirits, are fighting us. They're fighting God. It's a never-ending battle. And it's a battle for our spirit. But that doesn't mean we're going to lose. God's not given us the spirit of fear, it says, but of peace, of love, and of a sound mind. And if you find yourself being pulled into anxiety, if this sound mind does not describe how you feel, then it's time to go to war. It's time to fight back. It's time to fight back on our knees, on our face, before God, pouring it out to him. Because we are not subject to the evil spirits in this world. We are not. And we do not have to allow this kind of stuff to go on in our soul. So I want to encourage you, plant your feet in the Word of God. Take out that sword and go to war. All right, we love you guys. And again, sorry for the long silent spell. But I didn't want to come and bring you a bunch of fluff. We see way too much of that going on in the world today. I call it cotton candy because it's sweet and it amounts to nothing. So we don't want to bring you fluff. We want to bring you food. So I don't usually do this, but let's finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, be with those who are listening to this podcast and their families and their loved ones. Lord, we know that you work all things together for good to those who love you. And we ask that we would be able to have a glimpse of that coming good. Because right now we all need encouragement. We all need to be encouraged. And we all need to draw near unto you and to give our lives over to you. And we ask that you'll help us to do that. I'm not asking for the trials to go away. What I'm asking for, Father, today is that you will build us up and to give us courage to make the men who listen to this, and make the women, and make us strong in faith, strong in you. Give us the strength to get through these times, and to not only get through these times, but to excel in these times. Lord, all glory belongs to you. And we look forward to meeting you in the clouds very soon. Come quickly, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.